Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. So, listen to this. Figures released recently have revealed a total of 999 knives have been seized by Gardaí since the start of the year, with 44% of knife seizures among young people aged between 12 and 23. Just think about that for a second. Now, Ruth Maxwell was attacked 5 years ago and suffered life-altering injuries and wants to change the legislation around knife crime. She's on the line. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
Thank you so much for doing this today. So you were living and working in Dublin before your attack and everything was normal? Life was good?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
And what happened on that day, Ruth? Can you tell us?
I was just walking down to catch the Lewis at the Red Cow in Llandochan to go to work up in Earlsford Terrace. And it was about 20 to 7 in the morning. And I remember it was just such a gorgeous sunny day. I had my sunglasses on. I was listening to music. And before I knew it, these arms were around me. And in the left hand was a cloth trying to get to my face. And in the other hand was a knife at my chin. And then within seconds, the knife had come down to my throat. But I was very lucky that I had my hand under my handbag straps on my shoulder, that I just pulled the hand out and grabbed the blade of the knife. But as I said, you know, doing something like that, when you think that you're about to lose your life, it's the whole aftermath. Like when this person had run and you're just left standing there with no knowledge of the road that's lying ahead with the injuries that you've sustained. You know, even then I didn't think that my life was going to be changed dramatically.
You defended yourself with your hand, but you were left with severe injuries, isn't that right?
Yeah, the knife severed the tendons on 3 of my fingers and I had multiple surgeries, but the damage was done.
Wow.
So I never got full movement back in my hand. And every now and again, I'll have to put the splints back on to try and straighten them up just a couple of degrees, but you know, it really doesn't do anything for it.
Did anyone come to your aid, Ruth? Was anybody around or?
When it happened, no. I had to run down a laneway and out onto a main road. And very luckily, 2 guys then came along. The second guy actually thought that the first guy was my boyfriend and had beaten me up. So he actually got out of his van. He was going to punch him.
Wow.
And I had to. No, I said, this man just stopped to help. So once I explained what happened, you know, he apologized to the other guy. But if it was that kind of a situation, I was still very thankful and full of gratitude that somebody was going to step in and help me.
What was the shock like? I mean, how were you feeling? What was going through your head?
I just knew that everything that I could do physically was over for the foreseeable future anyway, because of the multiple surgeries coming. I mean, my hand was bandaged up, but there was nothing I could do. I couldn't brush my hair, tie my shoelaces. I couldn't get dressed hardly. So the first year was probably the most traumatic of my life. But then as I began to adjust and become much more independent and change things within my life to be able to help myself physically, to make things a little easier for me. And I'm still doing that to this day. You know, I'm constantly changing things.
Ruth, was seeking justice traumatic? Was that a traumatic experience? I mean, you didn't, you had no idea who your attacker was, but he was apprehended by Gardaí soon after. But to have to go through that and face him in court, and what was that like?
It was probably the loneliest road I think I've ever been on. Now, I'm very independent anyway, but going through something like that, and I didn't have any supports or services. There was nobody there to guide me through the whole process and then to give me the tools to pick up all the pieces after it. Mm-hmm. Because after a trial, you are on, you know, kind of a high that they've been convicted and, you know, justice has been served. But then when you're stepping back into your own life that, oh, I've just been through something like this. How do I, you know, mentally deal with all of that? There was nothing in place. There never has been.
I'd say walking to the Lewis on those early mornings were difficult.
Yeah, I still had to do it after that because I was constantly going for occupational therapy the other side of town. So it was very difficult constantly going past where that happened. And I still feel if I'm ever in the area or on the M50 or anywhere, I do glance up that direction. Yeah. And I try not to think about it then.
You have children. I would imagine telling them was very difficult.
Yeah, more so with my daughter because you feel very protective in a scenario like that. And I just found I constantly pushed them away in order to protect them. I didn't want to discuss anything with them. And my job really as a mother was not to be emotional, to be all over the place with what had happened. So I found myself distancing them from me an awful lot, you know. They were reaching different stages of their lives and my job was to encourage and support them. It wasn't about me.
Having been through this, you want to change how victims of knife crime are treated.
Yeah.
How so?
Well, I know at the moment now the Department of Justice have allocated 4.1 million to victims of crime. And they've just planned to establish an expert group to address the escalating issue of knife crime within the community. And I think that is fantastic. But then when you're looking at an offender who has no conscience, then that's where I feel the law should be changed to increase the sentencing from 5 years to 10 years. And that's under the Firearm and Offences Weapons Act of 1990. So I do think that's important. But for younger offenders, with less serious crimes in that area, I do think the Scottish approach that was advocated by the World Health Organization, which is all about prevention and early intervention, and that could be taken on board with restorative justice in a community-led proactive trauma focused kind of programs led by the Department of Justice on Garda Síochána. And probably someone like Safe Ireland. Like Safe Ireland can become the umbrella group for all victims of crime and domestic violence, etc. So that there's somewhere where you can go immediately after something has happened, a company or an organisation that can guide you through the whole process right up until after the appeal hearing, that you know that you have just this one organization to go to, and they will point you in every direction possible for the supports and services and even rehabilitation programs for victims.
I mean, I just want to read out these figures again because they're startling, really, and quite frightening. So figures released recently have revealed a total of 999 knives have been seized by Gardaí, just seized since the start of this year, and 44% of knife seizures among young people between 12 years of age and 23. I mean, that's a scary statistic right there, isn't it?
It's absolutely frightening. And as a society, we can't allow this kind of knife crime to be normalised and become complacent. We can't. And we have a responsibility, you know, to intervene at this crucial stage of their lives. Like, they're very young. These are things they'll regret when they're older. And, you know, when you're looking at the level of knife crime in the UK, like, it's so important that this is tackled as a matter of absolute urgency. And I know Minister James Brown, the junior Minister for Justice, like, he has recommendations to put forward to the Justice Minister, and he should be doing those immediately. Like, this should be tackled today. You know, how many kids are going out, you know, on a weekend evening, and the first thing they have I got my phone? Have I got my money? Have I got my knife in my pocket? That it will become normalised. And, like, I'm a mother of a son, and if that was my child, I mean, I would like to know that there's these intervention programmes where we can prevent this. Like, does it become normal that you just have a knife in your pocket when you're going out? But nobody seems to realise that this is a lethal weapon, and carrying something like that, it's not only injuries you can inflict. Like, there's a very high possibility that your life is in danger, that you are, you know, you are in immediate vicinity when somebody produces a knife to the possibility of losing your life. And I don't think these young people even realise that.
Well, you're phenomenal. I mean, the PTSD after something like that must have been, you know, unbearable. And to see you come out the other side and doing something positive and sharing your story, which is not easy to tell because you have to revisit that place and go back there. I thank you for that. And hopefully there's parents listening this morning and kids listening this morning that it will make an impact with.
Hopefully so, and hopefully the government will become a lot more proactive with what's actually going on at grassroots level within society. You know, change is coming and you can see it, and it's very welcoming as a victim of a knife injury, but it needs to be a lot faster and a lot more urgent.
Ruth Maxwell, thank you so much for sharing your story today. I wish you the very best of luck. And I just want to say, if you've been impacted by this chat, you can contact the Samaritans on 116123. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.